Hello, welcome to Crucify for Christ Ministry. If this is your first time listening to a sermon on this website, I want to say welcome. I truly believe God has directed you to this ministry, and I'm so happy that you're here and you're listening to this sermon. I'm just a humble man of God. This ministry really is, God gets all the credit. He gets all the glory. I direct everything to Him. This ministry was just, God was drawing me to do an online presence. And when God draws you to do that, there's somebody that He wants you to reach through the ministry. So, and my motto, I know some of you guys have been listening for a while to these sermons. You've heard me say this before. If one person is reached, if one person is, the grip of Satan. His chains are broken around their neck because a glorious gospel is preached. Another soul is saved from hell. It's worth it. I could preach thousands and thousands and thousands of sermons. The numbers don't matter. But if one person comes to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, I don't even have to know about it. He gets the praise. It's all worth it. If you're new to this ministry, quite a few sermons on here. If you're listening on this page, you can actually scroll down. There's a number of sermons. I also have an archive page that has sermons that would be on the, when you first go into the website, you'll see a, it's kind of different on your phone than if you're doing it on a desktop or a laptop. On your phone, there's up to the right corner. There's like a little, like three vertical bars or four vertical bars, and you click on that and it gives you the list of tabs you can press. It'll take you to that specific page. Now if you're on your desktop or laptop, you'll see the home page, and on the home page it has sermons, it has devotions, I have a few Bible studies on there, I have some spiritual warfare Bible studies on there, and then the archives, and now this sermon series is sermon teaching series. I actually created a tab set for that too. What I'm doing is I'm posting this sermon in here too, in this area, but I'm also posting it in the individual tab or page called Learning the Psalms. So, and the reason I'm doing that, if we're in Psalm 5 and we're taking a break, and because God wants me to preach on something else, it's an easy access to say, okay, I want to listen to the Psalms again. Psalm 1, Psalms 2, Psalms 3, Psalms 4, wherever breakdown is. So it gives you a way to go back over there if you want to, and sometimes you may want to listen to it over and over again, or maybe, if I'm Psalm 23, we get that far, we'll eventually get that far. And you like the Psalm 23, which will probably be broken down in 4 to 5 parts, probably, because it's a beautiful psalm, and it has a lot of meaning. And you may want to listen to that one over and over again, or it resonates with you. So it's separate. So I'm posting it on my main sermon page, and now I'm post it on that other page, Learning the Psalms. So if you're just joining, you kind of know what that is, kind of a little layout. Of course, if you have any questions, you can email me through this home page. It'll go straight to my email. I ask, if you do that, just make sure you put Crucify for Christ Ministry in the subject. So if it does go to like junk mail, because I only check my junk mail maybe once a month, I'll do a lot of deleting. I don't want your email to be deleted. I'm also on Facebook, so you can reach out to me on Facebook. You can send me a private message if you have any questions. You don't even have to be part of my friend group to send me a message. That's probably the quickest and easiest way to do that. I'm on Instagram a little bit and Twitter, which is known as X now, but I'm on that a little bit, but not much. Of course, all you guys have been listening to sermons on here, thank you for your support. And support, I mean prayers and just lifting me up. I thank you so much for that. I need all the prayers I can get, especially in this day and age, as a man of God standing on truth here in little Louisiana, where there's many areas not preaching the true gospel. So there's that. That's rough. And we're in the Bible Belt, so there's a church almost on every corner, which is sad. That majority of them are not preaching the true gospel. They're preaching a perversion of it. So of course I lift them up and we pray for them and all that. And I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus for. We pray for them. They're skewing God's word, and that God will open their eyes. So we're in Psalm 2. A few weeks ago we went Psalm 2. It was part 1. This will be part 2. It's only going to be 2 parts of this Psalm. If you go back next week, you will see Psalm 1. And we broke that down in several parts. But all you have to do is scroll down from where you're at right now, and you'll see Psalm 2, Part 1. And then you scroll down a little bit more, you'll see Psalm 1 and part, whatever part it was. I think I did 3 parts on that. And you can go all the way to the intro. You can listen, or you could go to the Learning the Psalm tab. Click on that and just intro, Psalm 1, part, Psalm 1, part, Psalm 1, part, Psalm 2, part 1. So hopefully that helps. So we'll be on Psalm 2 again, part 2. And let's read this psalm again. That's Psalms 2. It says, "Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against the anointing, saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sit in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex him in his soul to pleasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree the Lord has said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like potter vessels. Be wise then, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be anger, and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, just get into your word. Guide and direct me as you see fit. Holy Spirit, just pour through me. Give me the words that you need whoever's out there listening or will listen to this sermon to hear. God, we pray over their lives right now. I don't know their circumstances. I don't know what they've been through. I don't know their events. I don't know their current storms or the storm they've been in, but we lift them up in your holy name. This life can bring so much pain. Our scars can be so deep. But God, you give us the strength. Some people say, your scars heal. And yes, they do heal. But they still can leave a lasting impression. God, Lord, help us. Guide us. Direct us as you see. Give us strength to keep pressing on through the darkness. Let our light shine among this generation. With the truth, the gospel, firmly planted in our life, and to reach into others' life to firmly plant that in their lives too. God, Lord, Holy Father, thank you for everything you have done. Thank you for getting us through the day. Thank you for getting us through the night. Thank you for every minute. Your grace and your mercy, oh, is so powerful. It pours through us throughout the day. If we're His, there's a grace and a mercy that's just so beautiful. A closeness that when we're close to our Lord, there's peace among us, among our life and the way we live, and there's a joy in the way we live. We don't seem joyless as this world, or hopeless as this world. Because we are not part of this world, and this world should have no hold on our lives. We should be different from the way we speak to the way we act. We should pray, Lord, let your scripture be my guide. Lord, let my life be holy, for you tell me in Holy Scripture, be holy, for you are holy. You command us to be holy. Holy. What does that mean? We're supposed to look at this life through Scripture. And if our life don't match up with it, we pray that you purify it. You correct us. You chasten us to be more like you and less like ourselves. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, with this psalm, and once again, I strongly encourage you guys to check out, if you're especially new, the last one, part one, that was a few weeks ago. I encourage you, and I also encourage you to go check out Psalm 1, and the parts are all with that psalm, because both of these psalms are foundational to the whole book of Psalms. You need to get a hold. You need to get an understanding of the importance, the layout of these psalms, to get your mind geared to the rest of them. Now, as a few weeks ago, the title of Psalm 2 and the wording, I had worded as a question. And that question is, and as I posed a few weeks ago in Psalm Part 1, are you in rebellion against God? Are you in rebellion against God? And we're continuing this journey. And we're just going to pray that the Holy Spirit just helps us and guide us through this. Especially if you are in rebellion against God. Because this is going to cut hard. But God's word cuts hard. So here is David. He is stating this truth, and it only could be from the Holy Spirit pouring out on him. In verse 4, David states this, or he sings this truth. He's verse 4, he says, he that sit in the heavens shall laugh. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. God, the God, the one above all, who created heavens and earth, the one who formed us in our mother's womb. He looks down, and what does he do? He laughs. Let me tell you, our God is not afraid. Our God is not confused. It seems there's a lot of confusion going on today, but God is not confused. We are confused on one level or the other, but our God, the God of the Bible, the God of creation, the God who knew us in our mother's womb, He is not confused. He is not depressed. When He looks down from heaven at this rebellion against Him from this world, humanity, who can barely function on a daily basis, a world that has a problem defining biological sex, a world that celebrates sexual pride, homosexuality, a world that says a male can be a female and a female can be a male. Anyone can dress like the opposite sex with their genitals hanging out, and parents are taking their kids to see this perversion. I promise you, is happening. It's happening this month, and it happens throughout the year. And they laugh and they glorify this. They're in rebellion against God, the God of the Bible. And the reason He has spoke this earth is because there are still souls that needs to come to Him. But I want to tell you, our God is not confused. Our God is not depressed. One commentary puts it this way: God laughs because He sits in heaven, in the heavens. He sits as a great King of glorious throne. He is not pacing back and forth in the throne room of heaven and wondering what He should do next. God sits in perfect peace. He sits in perfect assurance. God laughs because He sits in heaven. He is not on an earthly throne. He occupies, it is the throne of heaven. He occupies is the throne of heaven with all authority of all creation. And I love how this commentary makes this, it poses this question: what does heaven have to fear from earth? Man, what does heaven have to fear from earth? Nothing. God doesn't fear us, but we should fear Him. This is a reverence fear. The mere ant we are thinking we're going to defy the God who created the heavens and the earth. He laughs. He's looking down on this earth. He sees the rebellion. He sees this disobedience toward Him. And guess what? His patience will run out. Listen real carefully. God looks down at this rebellion, the glorifying of baby murdering, abortion. Abortion is murder. He looks down at glorifying homosexuality and transgender. What month is this? It's June, right? And what is United States and other countries celebrating this month? Pride. That is the LGBTQIA+. That means the lesbians, the gay, the bisexual, the transgender, the queer, the intersex, and asexual. And the plus is any other sexual perversion that they may have forgot to add in. Our nation is celebrating this. And when with this celebration, guess what? We are storing up God's wrath on a nation, on a United States. We're storing up wrath in other countries that celebrate this garbage. You don't believe me? Look at inflation. You say, well, how is that related? I promise you. The highest, right? Most Americans cannot afford food. They cannot afford rent. They can't afford to live. What is going on? Our nation keeps glorifying sin. More sin. And they're hating those that stand on truth. And calling this movement, this pride movement, garbage. Sinful. And we point to who, the one that truly can mend our country. No, it's not Donald Trump. His name is Jesus Christ. You look at the filth on TV shows and movies. You look at this, what they're glorifying on entertainment. More sex, more filthy language, more violence. Show after show, movie after movie. Oh, I will never be popular in a, I guess you would say in a positive way here in Sodom and Gomorrah, which I lump America as the new Sodom and Gomorrah. I won't be popular in the sense that I won't be like Joe Osteen with his millions of followers that don't know scripture if they it hit them straight in the face following that heretic. No. He's worth millions upon millions. And he will have his reward. And those that are following him and listening to him and supporting him, they will have the reward. And they don't repent, turn for their wicked ways. It will not be heaven. It will be hell. I won't be ever popular like that. Maybe popular like the apostles or John the Baptist or somebody like that. You know, that when they went out and they preached, they got beaten. They got thrown in jail. Maybe that popular. I don't want to be that popular. But in the end, men that are standing on God's truth, that's going to be our popularity. I just pray for a quick death. I don't really enjoy the thought of being tormented or tortured. But these men like Joel and others, they're not calling this filth on TV out. They're not calling out homosexuality and transgender. They're not calling out abortion. They're not calling about the violent shows and the movies and video games. No. They're not pointing to scripture saying this is what Jesus calls us away from. They're not pointing to sanctification. Being separate from this world. To live a holy life before this world. See, God's patience will be over eventually. He will come back, and when he comes back, he's going to destroy this world. Verse 5 says, then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex him in his soul displeasure. Those that are mocking him, those that are mocking us, standing on God's word, he's going to speak in his wrath. The ultimate wrath is the end time wrath, right? For 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Don't stop there. People won't stop there. In which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. When God comes back, he will destroy this whole world with great heat. And all the elements will melt. Not my opinion. 2 Peter 3:10 tells us that. It's plain. And when this day has come, no one will be without excuse. No one will say, why? Why are you doing this? They'll know. They're in rebellion. But the reason he has not came back yet is because, as I said earlier, there are still souls that God wants us to reach into the fire and pull out of that fire that Satan has a hold on. God calls us to break the chains on these people that they have allowed Satan and his demons to wrap around their souls. If you've ever been around me for a period of time, you will get this about me. I'm passionate about outreach. I'm about reaching anyone that God has placed in my path, because I know that the day is coming where I may not be here no longer. Be it I die tonight or in the future or before the rapture, God wants us to reach into the lives of those around us. Because I know you should know this too. God's patience will end. His grace and mercy will come to a close, my friend. And this should create an urgency in our hearts to reach others with the gospel. My friend, if you have this urgency, this is another way to know that you are not in rebellion to God. A urgency in your heart, a passion to reach into the lives that God has placed in your path. I want to say, beware of a church, a building that is okay with Sunday morning, evening service, and maybe Wednesday night, but that church has no urgency to reach into the life of their community. It has no urgency to reach out into the area. And easy way to find out, just ask the pastor or the deacon, where are their outreach ministry? If they do not have any, then you ask them why. If they try to justify this, beware. They don't have the heart of Jesus. Maybe God is putting you in their path to spark that fire, to push them in a direction, to reach out into the community. But if they not want to and they resist you and cause problems and speak all evil against you, move on. I promise you that church will receive its reward one day. It won't be, well done, my good and faithful church. I'm saying church, but you read it. Matthew, right? My good and faithful servant. Servants are composed of a physical church that should be reaching out to the community. So if that church ain't doing that, there's a failure. And it doesn't heed correction. Then they'll answer to God. But I pray that you're a good biblical church that has a heart for God's word and outreach. If you do have a church like that, you have a diamond in the rough. And that church will confirm everything I'm saying. They will say, yes, outreach, reaching those around us is important. Verse 6 says, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill, Zion. Humanity attempts to overthrow or overturn God's eternal plan. The Lord thunders from heaven, and what does He say? Yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Upon this statement shows His unrelentless resolution to put His king to the throne, His chosen king. And all who is the chosen king? This is why I'm saying David was writing this psalm, but the Holy Spirit was all upon him, showing him the true king. See, David was the physical king of Israel, but he knew the true king. And he looked around, he seen the other kings and the other nations, but he knew who the true king, he knows who the true king is. A lot of these other kings and nations are just imposters. They want to be like the God, the Creator. But they are the father, their God of the world, Satan. They point to the holy city of Jerusalem, Zion, by pointing to both the earthly and the heavenly Jerusalem. I've never been to Jerusalem, but I hope one day to go. If not, I will be going to the heavenly Jerusalem one day. But in Jerusalem, there is a holy hill, and they call this hill the Mount of Zion. It is located south of the Mount Moriah. The Temple Mount, commonly called the Temple Mount. But there will be a heavenly Jerusalem. I cannot wait, and that is beautiful. One Bible commentary says it this, states it this way. This decoration speaks first to the present enthronement of Christ at the right hand of God, following His ascension, bestowing upon Him the place of the highest privilege and authority. If you want some references of scriptures, go look at Psalms 110. Verse 1 through 2 and Acts 2, verse 34 through 35. But ultimately, these words anticipate the return of Christ to earth and His glorious enthronement during this 1,000 reign from Jerusalem. You can see that in Revelations 20, 1 through 10. Oh, what beautiful time that will be with those that are in Christ. David knew who the true king that he served. He understand that this place was not his home. But there's joy beyond what he could even imagine. But he was anticipating, waiting for it. And we still have that joy for us today. That are Him, abiding in Christ daily. Reaching out to those that are in need daily. We know when we close our eyes in this life, into the next. Oh, what joy and beauty waits for those that love, truly love Him. We were not part of these nations raging against God. We're not part of these nations in rebellion to God. But we are separate from this world. We stand in the only truth that matters. We stand on the God's word, and we claim His holiness in our life to live a life more in the spirit, right? And less in the flesh. Go to Galatians 5, right? Read that down. We are supposed to walk more in the spirit and less in the flesh. It gives the works of the flesh. We are not supposed to be practicing those works of the flesh. Once again, go to Galatians 5 and read straight down. I try to keep these down to an hour. But man, I could go into Galatians, start preaching on Galatians. Read through Galatians. We are supposed to walk in the spirit. Oh, if you don't want to walk in the spirit, oh, you are in rebellion against God. When you start reading about the works of the flesh, and it makes you angry because you don't want to hear it. When Paul gets down to that list, and he says, those that practice these will not inherit the kingdom of God, meaning you want to live in that sin. He mentions fornication, adultery, witchcraft, lasciviousness. It just goes on and on. What is fornication? Having sex before marriage, which is strongly encouraged in America. Adultery, being married to somebody and then having sex with somebody that's not your marriage partner, which seems to be okay today. And Jesus goes in the gospel, and He says, if you look upon a woman, He said, if you even look. Jesus says this in the gospels, you have committed adultery. Get mad at this old preacher, you can. But you're really getting mad at God's word. You don't want to repent. You don't want to turn from your wicked ways. God's word tells us you will not. I will not. If I don't repent. I do something wrong. I get in the flesh. My heart breaks. And I have to turn. That's how I know that I am His. That's how I know I'm not in rebellion. Because the conviction of the Holy Spirit that hits me like a ton of bricks. I may say that word I know I'm not supposed to say. That cuss word. I may look at something I know I'm not supposed to look at. And I'm convicted. This conviction leads me to repentance. Godly sorrow works repentance, right? But we are separate from this world. We stand on the one truth that matter. We stand on the God's word, and we claim His holiness in our life to live a life more in the Spirit. and less in the flesh. We seek every day to body him and live this crucified life. We're not okay with our flesh. We're not okay seeking our own way, our own path, our own direction. From morning to night, our heart beats for his way, his path, his direction. I want to tell you, if you got this mindset, you're right in line with God's way. And you're not in rebellion against him. But if you do not like this, and you choose not to listen, you are in rebellion to God. And one day, if you do not turn from your rebellion, turn your heart from your rebellion. Turn your heart and soul from this world. And repent and pray, God, use me and guide me. Wherever that may look like, God, I'm all yours. If you don't have this heart, then one day you will experience his wrath. And hell will be your destiny. And I don't want that for you. And David continues in verse 7 through 12. I'll read these. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my son, and this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, and the othermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them into pieces like a potter vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, bless all that put their trust in him. This is pointing to Jesus Christ, the ultimate King. This is declaring communicating with David and us today that all this rebellion and all those that have a middle finger up to God will come to an end. But first God must send the true King down to earth. I love that word begotten. But understand that some Bible translations, they will not have that word begotten. That's okay as long as the translation emphasizes that Jesus Christ is the only Son of God. Jesus Christ is the true anointed King of the world. God is pouring, identifying Jesus Christ as Son of the Father. And emphasizing he's standing as begotten of the Father. If you look at Hebrews chapter 1 verse 5. This passage provides the evidence of deity of Jesus and the superiority to all the angels. It says in Hebrews 1:5, it says, For unto which the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day I begotten thee. And again I will be him a father, and he shall be his son. God is pointing to his son, Jesus Christ, the most excellent name above any of the angels. Only Jesus Christ should receive all of our praise. God has begotten Jesus. And is begotten describes a relationship between two beings of the same eccentric or central nature and being. Do not confuse begotten with creating. God did not create Jesus Christ, but he is Jesus Christ. Which is confusing, I get that, but God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all three are one. Jesus was not created, rather he created everything that was created. Colossians 1, chapter 1, verse 16 through 17 says this. For by him were all things created. That are in heaven and that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created by him, by Jesus Christ. Make sure I got all those verses. Because I only wrote... Let me flip around. Hold on. I put 16 through 17, and when I typed it out, yeah, I believe I got all of it there. 1, 16, 17, make sure. No, actually, and yeah, and he, before all things, verse 17, I didn't type 17 out. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So, he created everything. Our Lord Jesus Christ created all things. And we should praise his holy name. And eagerly waiting for his return, right? But those that are in rebellion against him, they're not acknowledging that God is a creator, that he created all things. They're not acknowledging that he deserves all praise. They're not acknowledging that he is in control. Because of their rebellion, they will have their reward. Verse 8 and 9, let's read that again. It says, and ask of me, I shall give thee the heathens for thy inheritance, utmost parts of the earth for thy possession, and thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter vessel. Those at the beginning, right, of the psalm, with their middle finger up to God, they're raging, right? They will have their reward. They not turn from their wicked way. Their reward will be everlasting destruction, hell for the rest of their life, eternal burning forever. When we reach out to those rebelling against God and his word, when we reach out to those in rebellion, understand we are striking at the darkness. We are light, they are dark. And when we stand on truth and tell them their sinful lifestyle is not okay, there can be a rejection. There can be a hate that they will have to us. But guess what? We keep pressing on. Don't take it personally. We keep reaching out to the very end. Because we know what waits for those who reject the gospel message. Well, praise God for those that accept the truth. That turn from their wickedness, their rebellion. What happens? Verse 10 through 12 tells us. Be wise now, therefore, ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. And ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little. But blessed are they that put their trust in him. Those in the nation and those within the nation, the people. And I pray that you are one. We are wise. True wisdom comes from being close to God, right? The closer we are to him, the more we seek his way, his path, his direction. He gives those in charge, right? Us in these nations that are raging against our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us the courage to reach into their life with God's, with the word of God. We are the light to break into the darkness. And what privilege that is. We are not rebellion to a holy God, because we seek to serve the Lord with everything we got. Matthew 22:37 says, Jesus said unto him, ye shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. You're truly his. You want your life to reflect this. You want every day to match up with what he has for you. Your heart cries from the morning to the night that God directs you, guides you. Not your way, not your path, not your direction. No, you pray, Lord, your direction, your path, your way. And when we do this, when we have this mindset, as the psalmist tells us in verse 11, we serve the Lord with fear and rejoicing with trembling. It's amazing. This is how you know you're not. Another reason why you know you can tell you're not in rebellion against God. You have this. So you're serving Lord with this fear, and you're rejoicing with trembling. You have a fear of God. This is not a negative fear, but a fear of reverence. You know that God deserves all you have and nothing less. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, But if thou thence thou shalt seek the Lord, thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou shalt seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all the ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Jeremiah 29:13 says, ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search me, and I will hearken unto you. Galatians 2:20. My memory verse, my verse that I live by among many, but this is how this ministry kind of came about, is the crucified life. But Galatians 2:20 said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet now I, but Christ live in me. And the life which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Man. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for us. But we should seek that crucified life. He gave it all for us. Why can't we give it all to him? Another way to know that you're not in rebellion to God is listen to that verse 12. It says, kiss the Son, lest he be anger. Ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a while. Blessed are all that put their trust in him. Kiss the Son. You really heard this phrase? Have you really thought about this phrase? Maybe you read through the Psalms and you just really didn't think much about it. This phrase carries with it a kiss of submission. Our flesh does not like to submit. And you, if you're not submitting and you don't want to submit and you're not convicted, this is an indication that you are in rebellion against God. If you don't want to repent of this, or you just want, you get mad, and you say, you cannot judge me, only God can. Yeah, you're on the way of that judgment, which isn't going to be pretty. God is going to judge you. And he'll ask you one day, why didn't you listen to one of my messages I sent to warn you, to wake you up, but you spit in his face by your rejection to the truth. Your rebellion will be your reward. Your choice of eternity and damnation. But you get this and you understand this. That I'm not trying to judge you, but I love your soul too much not to tell you the truth. And you get this and you turn from your rebellion. You confess your rebellion to a holy God. And repentance flow from your heart. Your eyes are fully open to the truth. As David said in the last sentence of this psalm, bless all that put their trust in him. We submit daily, guys. We recognize we are not in charge and that God is. We understand we cannot do this life on our own strength, but we need his strength. We understand that he is truly our safe place. And with the safe place flows the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our life. When we do this, we demonstrate his trust. We're walking in his way, his path, his direction. And we're not in rebellion to him. Closing this out, the question I asked, part one, this is part two, same question. Are you in rebellion to a holy God? See, David looked around and he saw this rebellion among the nations around him and the people in those nations. He's unsettled. I want to tell you, when we look around our nation and our whatever country you may be living in, and you see this rebellious nature of the nations or countries against the true living God, are you unsettled? Are you grieved over these nations, nation or nations, and then of course the people in those nations. If you're not in a sill or grieve, you think everything's just good fun. Love is love, so let it be. You're in rebellion against God. But if you're in sill and you're grieved, and this drives you to your knee every day and pray for those that God has placed in your path, and pray for the people in these nations that are in rebellion against a holy God, because we know what's waiting for them at the end of their life. When you see the homosexual running rampant, this grieves you. When you see the transgender running rampant, it grieves you. When you see the nations glorifying baby murder, this grieves you. When you see how the tax on marriage between a man and a woman is, it grieves you. You see how sexual morality is practiced as normal, this grieves you. When you see entertainment from movies to music mocking the one true living God, you see the filth that's all over the TV and the violence, it grieves you. How entertainment blasphemes God left and right, takes His name. We think this is okay. No, if it grieves you, oh, you're not in rebellion, you're right on track. You see how those that profess to know our God, but they live, and they don't live the way they're posted to Scripture. They're living any way they want. They don't believe you have to live a holy life separate from this world. That grieves you. I could say if all these things grieve you. When you look at our world that don't think the Bible is relevant, that should be our path, that we should live our life through Scripture, and that grieves you. You're not in rebellion against God. You can say 100% you're not in rebellion against God. But any of these statements that I've made you mad, you want to call me all kind of names in the book and out of the book, you're in rebellion against God. And you will face the wrath of God one day if you not turn from your wicked ways. I want to tell you, please heed the warning. Not just from me, but other voices out there that are speaking truth from God's Word, the voice of truth. Turn from your wicked ways to the one true living God. Fall to your knees with your heart in your hands and confession in your mouth to the one true living God. The one that holds our tomorrow. Lift His holy name and turn from your wickedness. Pray the Holy Spirit invades your life, change you from the inside out. Because when God truly gets a hold of you, you will not be the same. The fire of the Holy Spirit will burn in your soul so intense that you will not be able to tell someone how Jesus rescued you from this life. I promise you, 15 years ago, you wouldn't have known me. 20 years ago, you wouldn't have known me. I was wicked. I spoke. Filth came out of my mouth from every any word I could think of. I was heavy in the cult. I was alcoholic. I was a womanizer, addicted to the pornography, hated people with a passion. But oh, when the Holy Spirit got hold of my life, all that changed. I was in rebellion against God, but God got a hold of me. He rattled me. He shook me. A lot of people that knew me 20 years ago or even in my teenager years, they haven't seen me in 20 years, 20 or whatever. They're shocked that I preach and I teach. may not be the best preacher or the best teacher, elegant in speech. But they know something changed. They know that I'm not the same person I used to be. Filthy mouth, vulgarness, addicted to drugs. God broke that. See, when the Holy Spirit comes into our life, He changes us. And I pray, if you don't truly know Jesus Christ, go back through these scriptures. I have salvation messages all through this website. Click on one. Write down the scriptures. Go back over it. Read those scriptures over and over. And pray over them. And then pray, Holy Spirit, come into my life. And there, you don't have to have a special... It don't have to be no special words. The Holy Spirit will give you, if you truly want Him to come into your life, you may not know what it looks like. You ask for it, He'll flood your life. He'll give you direction. He will send people in your path to give you directions. You're here now, He sends you through in my path. Click on one of the salvation messages. Let's close this out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this opportunity, Lord, to get into Your Word. Lord, I pray, Lord, that anybody here, Holy Spirit, we lift them up to You. They made it through this full message. Praise God. Especially if they are in rebellion, they stayed and listened. That means the Holy Spirit is working in their life right now. God, we pray over them right now. Lord, we pray over whoever may be going in their life, that we lift them up to the One that holds everything, that's in control from the very beginning to the very end, that knew them before they were even in their mother's womb, as Jeremiah tells us. He created us. He knows every hair on your head. He numbered them. He knows you by name. He knows everybody in this world upon millions. He knows every one of their names. And He loves them. But He calls them out. He calls their rebellion out. If they're in rebellion. And tell them, no, you will not inherit the kingdom of God in that state of mind. He calls them out to stop the rebellion, to stop the disobedience, and to obey and trust in the Word of God. To say, Lord, I know I've been doing this all wrong, but God, I may not know how this looks, but God, direct me. God, I know You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, Your only begotten Son, down to this earth. Lord, I know that He is Your Son, and I know that He had no sin, and He was perfect. And I know that He had to die on that cross for the atonement of my sins and the sins of this world. Thank You for the precious blood of Jesus. And I know He rose from the dead. Just tells me that this physical life don't mean nothing in the end. Even it will continue. Physical death does not mean the end. It means the beginning. Be it spiritual damnation or spiritual life. Heaven or hell. Those will be the two options. And Lord, I don't want to go to hell. And I want to live a life holy to You. While I'm here, I want to glorify you, and I want to live a life that is separate from this world. I want my life to look like yours. I want you to direct me in the way you need me to go. I need you to direct me in the path I need to go. Lord, give me direction. I seek to be holy, for you tell me, without holiness, nobody will see the Lord. God, direct me. We look at the ascension of Jesus Christ in heaven. We know that those that truly believe in Him, that truly have placed their faith in Him, was waiting for us beyond what we can imagine. And when we truly believe all that, the Holy Spirit will come into our life. He will rattle us. He will shake us. And we begin this process of sanctification, meaning we are now seeking to be more like Him every day. A Christian is a disciple that seeks to follow Him with everything they got every day. Some days are rougher than others, but we keep pressing on. We keep, with the help of the Holy Spirit, pushing us and guiding us and directing us. Lord, thank you for your Son. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. I love you guys. Once again, I don't know if I believe I did mention you can reach out to me through this website. When you do, just make sure you put in the subject lines Crucify for Christ Ministry. You can get a hold of me through Facebook. You can private message me that way. I'm not on Instagram or X or Twitter that much, but there's other ways you can reach out to me. Some of you guys have my personal phone number, so you guys can text me or call me. And a lot of you guys do text me. Not a lot, but I mean, I get a few texts here throughout the week. And a lot of you guys got my personal, have my personal phone number is because I trust you, and I know that you're genuine and you care, and I love that. And not many people have my personal phone number. But I love you guys. Y'all have a good rest of your day, your night. If you're listening to this on the weekend, pray that you're having a good weekend. Or if you're listening to the week, I pray the Lord is you're having a good week. Love you guys. Bye.